So yes, we are focusing on prayer this Lent, and specifically biblical models of prayer, people in the scriptures who show us a little bit of how to pray and what prayer means and what it can look like. If you do take a prayer guide, you'll find that they're in different order in the prayer guide. So just, you know, whatever. Read it. You can see the order we're doing them in and read them in that order, or it doesn't really matter. But we decided to do Jacob first. When Rebecca was expecting, she, even before they were born, she knew she had her hands full. She had waited many years to have children, waited and waited, and she was finally expecting her first child. It turned out there were two twins, and they were struggling with one another in the womb. And she asked God about this. What is going on? And the Lord said to Rebecca, two nations are in your womb. And the Lord explained to her that they would be rivals. One would be stronger, and the older would serve the younger. So Esau was born first, and Jacob was born second. It says, grasping his brother's heel. So the name Jacob in Hebrew sounds like grasping or wrestling or grappling. And it also sounds like a Hebrew expression that means he deceives. So indeed, Rebecca has her hands full with these twins who are already rivals before they're even born. And the younger is a fighter. And as we will see throughout his life, he is not above deception and trickery to get what he wants. So there's the incident with the lentil stew that I talked with the kids about. The next thing that happened was when Jacob tricked his father into giving away his brother's inheritance. This was the end of Esau's patience with his brother's deceit. Esau was so angry. He wanted to kill Jacob, and so Rebekah warned Jacob, and Jacob ran away. He moved far, far away. And he stayed far away for a long time. He married, he had children, he worked, so he just, life went on. He settled down in this new place, far from home. And he prospered at everything he did. Work went really well. The farm was very prosperous. And at the same time, he continued to have contentious relationships everywhere he went, now with his father-in-law, mostly. After about 20 years, God said to Jacob that it was time to go home. So Jacob must go home and face his past. He's been gone for about 20 years. He hasn't spoken to his brother. They have, as far as we know, they've never spoken about what happened. And yet that past is all waiting for him. It didn't go away just because time went on. The 20 years didn't make Esau and all of that pain and hurt and contention go away. It's all waiting for him. It's all waiting for at home. And so Jacob has to face the consequences of the choices that he made when he was younger. And mainly that means facing his brother, the one with whom he has the most unfinished business, an unresolved mess of family issues. So Jacob is on his way home. He's bringing his family, which is very big at this point, and all of his livestock, which is a lot at this point. First, he sends messengers ahead to meet Esau first, and they're bringing lots of gifts with them. So I'm sure he's trying to smooth things over as much as possible before he actually talks with Esau. those who delivered the gifts returned to Jacob, and they said, "Oh, well, he has 400 men with him, and he is coming this way." So yeah, Jacob, understandably, was afraid and very distressed. In a less selfish moment for Jacob, he sent his family away first. He sent his family, actually split them up and sent them in two different directions, trying to protect them from Esau and either 500 friends or 400 friends or 400 people. That might be a small army. We didn't know. Now Jacob is alone. And now Jacob has to face God. It's not Jacob's first time meeting God, but this one is special. This one is different. Back when Jacob was running away the first time, 20 years ago, he slept on the ground on his escape, and he was visited by God in a dream. And that was a significant moment for Jacob in his walk with God. Now he's returning home. Instead of being completely alone, now he's got this big family and all these possessions. And again, he meets God on the way as he's traveling. Again, he is alone, and again, it's nighttime, but this time he's not gonna sleep peacefully. There won't be much sleep at all. I want you to listen to part of Jacob's prayer that I'll read for us. He said, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid that he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted." So Jacob at the same time expresses his faith in God, his confidence in God, and admits that he is afraid. And he expresses all of this to God. Then it says that a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Jacob doesn't know who it is at first, and neither do we as we're reading along. He's just fighting someone in the darkness. Later, the scriptures make clear that this is either God himself or a direct representative of God. Now, as you might expect, Jacob was not winning this fight, but he would not give up either. When God said, "Let me go," Jacob said pretty boldly, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And Jacob did receive that blessing that he wanted from the Lord. And he also received a limp. He received both, the limp and the blessing from this struggle with God. He names the place Peniel, which means face of God. And he says, "I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." More than anything, that's what Jacob really needed. He needed to see God, to make that close connection face to face. And then Jacob limped away, as ready as he ever would be, to meet his brother Esau after 20 years. Something else happened in that long night. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. David Cotter said, "Somehow this encounter with a final adversary, God, at last roots out of Jacob's being the need for conflict. As a result of this experience, he will no longer be called Jacob, the con artist, but Israel, the one who has fought with all comers and emerged, not unscathed, but stronger because of his weakness. Finally, Jacob has to face himself and wrestle with who he is, who he has been, and who he is becoming. He's ready to meet his brother, and yet their reconciliation won't be perfect and complete. He has this new name, the name that's also the name of God's people, Israel. And yet he is still called Jacob throughout the rest of the scriptures. He's called both, but mainly Jacob. Abram and Sarai became Abraham and Sarah, and we never call them Abram and Sarai ever again, to the point that when we hear Sarai, we're like, who's that? When Saul meets Jesus, he's Paul, and he's always Paul for the rest of the New Testament. But for Jacob, that transformation is not quite so complete, and I think a lot of us can relate to that. Maybe some of you can relate to Saul becoming Paul and never turning back, but I think a lot of us can relate to God's transforming work, God's changes in us, and yet our stubborn and sinful nature is right there and we continue to struggle with becoming who God is calling us to be. There's so much that I could say about Jacob and that night at the Jabbok River, but today we want to focus on what this teaches us about prayer and our relationship with God and our communication with God. Sometimes we forget that prayer can be a real struggle. It can keep us up all night. It's not always fun or peaceful. If we're honest with God, prayer won't always be neat and tidy, pretty and pious. Prayer can be a real struggle. Joanne Deasy, who's a covenant pastor, she wrote that prayer sometimes makes her feel like she is covered in mud, clothes torn, wounded, limping, and exhausted. She wrote about her own experience of singleness, of wanting to be married but not being married and not getting what she asked for in prayer. And she writes, "I am struggling to let go of a dream without letting go of hope. I am struggling to hold on, but I am holding on. Holding on until God blesses me. Holding on until I am given a new name. Holding on until I can walk away saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." We don't want to imitate Jacob in everything, probably, but here he shows us how to hold on to God. And so I want us to think today and to prayerfully reflect, what would it look like for us to imitate Jacob in his prayer / wrestling match? What if we were more honest with God about how we're feeling, and trust that God can handle it, that we don't need to protect God or sort of keep him safe from our own questions or our own feelings, even our anger? What if we trusted that God can handle it? What if we're bolder in asking for what we need and even what we want? What if we were more persistent and energetic in our prayers? Not giving up, but repeatedly communicating with God, repeatedly asking, and always holding on to God no matter what happens. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 18, which he told to teach us to always pray and to not give up. So it's kind of nice when they tell us before he tells a story what we're supposed to get out of it. We're supposed to always pray and not give up. So the story is there was a judge who did not care about doing the right thing. He didn't care what God thought. He didn't care what other people thought. But there was a widow who had an adversary, and she needed justice. Remember that widows in that time and place were especially vulnerable. Women needed an adult, a male relative to care for them. So she was vulnerable, and she went to this judge, and she demanded justice. The judge didn't care, but she just kept going. She just kept demanding what she needed. And finally gave her what she needed, but just because he was so sick of her. And then Jesus says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? If even this unfair judge who doesn't care, how much more will our God hear our prayers and respond when we are persistent and faithful to pray? So always pray, don't give up. Sometimes we have the same prayer requests for years and years and years. Don't give up. And hold on to God in the struggle. And someday, some wonderful day, we will say, I have seen God face to face.